Welcome to ParentChildConnect.com. I am Olaolu Ogunyemi.
Does the Bible teach karma and generational curses? I posted a tweet yesterday that read, "Whether the topic is religion, science, history, or otherwise, teaching without providing context is a red flag." Go read for yourselves, folks. Missed information leads to misinformation. And I posted that on October 4th, 2022. You know, this thought stemmed from some recent thinking and studying I've been doing. Karma, what goes around comes around, and ideas like generational curses have always persisted in my mind and have likely influenced the way I lead my children. It was a daunting feeling that no matter what good I did or how apologetic I was, my children would suffer from my past mistakes. But ultimately, by educating myself, I encouraged and freed myself from my past mistakes. Now, I want to provide that same freeing philosophy to you. Here's how our culture is impacted by these ideas. This philosophy is so pervasive as it extends beyond our individual sins to something called generational curses. Many pastors will quickly quote scriptures like Exodus 20 and 5, New Living Translation, that reads, "I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me." These pastors conclude that no matter what we do, we will pay for our prior generation's sins. Some even take it further and say things like, "Your child is sick because of the sins you committed." In other words, for example, we accept that if we grew up in a broken home, we ourselves will have broken homes. We accept that if our fathers were not around, we will never learn how to be great fathers. And we accept if our mothers never said, "I love you," we will never be able to show our children affection. Do you see how this theology can impact an entire culture? So let's quickly talk about karma and Christianity. You see, when considering this cultural impacting theology, we commonly use the word karma. And according to www.merriam-webster.com, karma is the force generated by a person's actions held in Hinduism and Buddhism to perpetuate transmigration, and in its ethical consequences to determine the nature of the person's next existence. Karma is more broadly used in this context. Such a force considered as affecting the events of one's life. You know, many Christians have adopted karma and transformed it by saying, "You reap what you sow." This quote is a paraphrased version of Galatians 6 and 7, King James Version, that reads, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So, I want to give you my clear position. The Bible does not teach karma or generational curses. Yeah, I know this may ruffle a few feathers, but I have to tell you this anyway. The Bible teaches grace. To believe that each generation must pay for the previous generation's sins is to accept generational curses and punishments for our sins as inevitable. And if we view something as inevitable, we spend our lives preparing for the inevitable instead of leading well and living fulfilling lives. So why do these things continue to happen from generation to generation? Because we will them to happen in our lives. Like I said before, Christianity is about grace. You see, the story of Jesus is all about grace, not tick for tack or holding sins over your head to get you back through your children. And you know, I was even taught that the sins of the parents can be taken out on the children as consequences. And then usually people quote Exodus 20 and 5 as proof. However, allow me to present three thoughts on this. So first of all, we're going to bust the myth. The idea that our children will suffer consequences for our sins is actually debunked in Ezekiel 18 and 20. In the New Living Translation, it says, "The person who sins is the one who will die. The child will not be punished for the parent's sins, and the parent will not be punished for the child's sins. Righteous people will be rewarded for their own righteous behavior, and wicked people will be punished for their own wickedness." You know, Jesus had a prolific example in John 9 when he healed the blind man. The disciples wondered if the man was blind from birth because of his sins or his parents' sins, which I believe was a reference to the Old Testament belief that we've already discussed. Well, Jesus responded, "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him." So the second thing, let's talk about the Exodus 20 counter argument. You know, I acknowledge that scriptures like Exodus 20 and 5, 30 and 7, Numbers 14 and 18, and Deuteronomy 5 and 9 seemingly hurt my argument. But let's hone in on this and examine it from a practical and scientific perspective. You see, a child receives both positive and negative traits from his or her parents. Some of these traits may be genetic, while others are learned behaviors. For example, if both of my parents are athletic, I will likely be athletic. Similarly, if my parents are alcoholics, I am more likely to be an alcoholic. Here's the key thing. In both cases, the child can implement behaviors to impact these likely events. You see, because if the child chooses to consume a diet of honey buns and Dr. Pepper while refusing to exercise, he or she is less likely to be an athlete. And if a child is treated for alcoholism before his or her brain's biochemistry is altered, they have a better chance of not becoming dependent upon alcohol. So get this. It is not the punishment for sin that transcends generations. It is the effects of sin that transcend generations. With that in mind, the above scriptures are a forewarning that we must be aware of the effect and influence we have on those we lead. However, the message of grace says that no matter what we do, God still loves us and wants us to be reconciled to Him. So if you choose to follow Him, there is no condemnation or looming punishments for your mistakes. And you can find that in Romans 8 and 38 through 39 and Romans 8 and 1. You know, see, does that mean we can live a life devoid of consequences? Absolutely not. For example, if you mistakenly fall asleep while driving, you will likely still have negative consequences. My point is, God is not waiting to punish you and your children for your mistakes once you have repented. Through His sacrifice, Jesus accepted that punishment for us. So the third thing and the final thing is, what about reaping what you sow? Listen, I challenge you to go back and read each time the Bible mentions sowing and reaping in context. For example, in Galatians 6, which I've already referenced, the Bible continued to explain in verses 9 and 10, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature, that's the sowing, will harvest decay and death, that's the reaping, from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit, that's the sowing, will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit, that's the reaping. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Again, this is the sowing. at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So here's my prayer for you. My prayer is that my countercultural philosophy gives you hope. Your fate is not predetermined by your parents' mistakes. Neither is your child's fate predetermined by your mistakes. I wholeheartedly denounce unbiblical teachings of karma and generational curses. And I reject the attitude of defeatism that says, because I made so many mistakes, my children will make the same mistakes no matter what. Will your children sin and make mistakes? Yes, as we all do. Our job is to teach them the right way with our example and break the quote-unquote generational curses with the decision to use the many available resources out there to live more healthy and fulfilling lives. Now go live free from guilt and fear and lead well. Thank you, and God bless you, and have a wonderful week.